a better world is a-coming. Tell you why. There's a better world is a-coming. Tell you why. We will feed 'em on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world is a-coming. Tell you why. Better world is a-coming. Don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free, there's a better world that's a-coming, don't you see?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon indeed. This is Rick Spezak, News Director of Progressive News Network, Executive Producer of all things PNN. And I'm today with you because we have a new show that's joining the PNN lineup. Hopefully we have a couple more as well coming up. But this show is called Lives in the Balance Sheet. It's a tremendously interesting show that's going to detail some of the fiscal shenanigans that go on in the credit world, the mortgage world, the student loan world. And we've got two incredibly funny, witty, intelligent producers who are going to be guiding this show. It's Dave and Lynn Petrovich, two great people, activists for years and years and years, and very knowledgeable on all matters financial. And what I'm going to do is, Dave will be with me in just a minute. I'm going to go ahead, put on a tune, and we'll have him join us in just a minute. And this is Edwin Starr's War. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen, Edwin Starr's War. Interesting. I've got Mr. Dave Petrovich. Dave, welcome, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to hear your voice again, Rick.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. And it's good to hear you because I couldn't be prouder of having the opportunity to have you with us here on PNN Network. I think that you and Lynn are going to be a real asset to our mission of helping people understand the best tactics to survive through what is clearly going to be a difficult situation coming up.
Rick, as important it is to develop a tactic or a strategy, you really have to understand what the problems are and where they come from before you can navigate around them. If you don't understand what the enemy is, it's hard to fight.
Well, you made a great point there, Dave. And I was wondering, we've never tried two hosts logged in at the same time. And I was wondering if you could try going over to our sound files and see if you could play one of those sound files by clicking on the little blue arrow to the right-hand side. You want to give that a try? So go ahead. There we go. Awesome.
And I just shut it off.
Very good. Very good.
Let me ask you a question.
There seems to be a
gap between when I finish speaking and you begin, or vice versa. And that's common in these radio call-in formats. Is there a way that a guest could signal to you that he's finished speaking with a phrase, or perhaps pushing a button on the phone or something?
Well, unfortunately, there's no immediately built-in system. What we've done in the past for some guests is I keep a live text link live in my phone to them. So if they want to get some message to me, they'll just text it to me, and then I'll anticipate it. You know, I try to prepare my guests as best as possible, and I say, you know, kind of make a little outline of the points you want to make, and if I get a chance to talk to them about it, I'll jot some notes down. And so if they're getting close to the end of their scheduled time, I might prompt them, you know, or I'll send them a text, didn't you want to mention blah, blah, blah? And that usually does the trick. But, okay. Another thing I want to mention is up in the upper left, of course, you see our countdown clock. And in the upper right, when you're done with the show, you click on that end episode, and by gum, there it is. you know, about this recent election, another point I wanted to kind of sound you on is, you know, when it comes to that point of making lemonade out of lemons, you know, while on the one hand it's a shame in a way that the vote has gone such that the Republicans are in charge of both the House and the Senate. A variety of reasons for that. And, of course, we can thank the Koch brothers and their ilk for a lot of that. But the Democrats haven't done much better for us anyway. But I think the point I want to make is while the Republicans seem to have won big, if you look at first blush, the other thing is that a lot of progressive issues really won the day. From the expansion of marijuana to the minimum wage. There's a lot of progressive issues that really did quite well.
I agree. And those are concessions by the elite to keep us from taking to the streets.
Again, a good cogent point, that's for sure. the other thing I was going to... Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I'm going to try to call in on my phone line just so that you get a chance to bring a voice online.
Okay.
And
all right.
So let me go ahead and do that. I'm going to mute my mic here, and then we can I'll try a call in, and you can click in a voice. So hold on one second. Why don't you go ahead and talk for a second, and I'll call in.
Sure. You know, an interesting thing, today I've been responding to a lot of inquiries from progressive and radical groups, you know, across the United States, who are asking in regard to a potential run by Bernie Sanders, and will he run as an independent, will he run on the Democratic ticket, and would the various left groups support him if he were to run as a Democrat? And very interesting. Many groups would certainly do that. And many groups, even though they call themselves green or socialist, many are voting along Democratic lines because they don't honestly believe that their vote for an independent or an alternative party means much. And that's kind of the mindset that we need to break. And I see we have a caller here, and I'm going to press one of these buttons. Hello, caller number one. How are you tonight?
I am very good, sir. Yes, you have me, and I've called in. So that is the magic of the call-in functionality. So I'm going
to
sign off.
I'm sorry,
here.
we have to break for a commercial message from the Koch brothers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. I don't know what. You automatically come back.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I unmuted my mic over on this side.
Okay.
So that is the essential drill, sir. If you have any other questions about this interface, please let me know. And I was going to go ahead and talk about another issue that I think is kind of interesting. You know, we've made some modest progress. After all, the president has delayed his collusion in the pipeline. situation. But I suspect with the GOP now in charge of both the House and the Senate, there's going to be a plethora of anti-climate bills in there. And with a climate denier, the head of the Science Committee, this looks to be a pretty interesting season.
Well, we know that the rule of money, until it's challenged, is going to do what it damn well wants.
So That's for sure.
But you know, the good part is that as this marches forward, you know, unresponsive and irrespective of the public's demands, as this marches to fruition, I believe we're going to see much more demonstration, much more peaceful, nonviolent direct actions, and which is really what we need. We're at a tipping point. Many people feel we're at a tipping point. How about you? What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. In fact, the voting was barely counted, and one of my trusted advisors says to me, well, the good news is that, you know, Bush did a lot of good for the anti-war movement and the green movement, and I think we can definitely count on more street protests. Again, we'll find the same tin ear in government, but it does work to organize people. And, you know, more than one cynic has said that the further right this country lurches, the more people will find the need, the necessity of solidarity. And that's got to be the silver lining, I think.
Well, on a circle, you know, the further right that you go, the closer left you are.
My biggest sadness, though, is I'm afraid that the dogs of war are going to get some real red meat, and that's going to cost a lot of lives, and that's the real sad part, I'm afraid. Whether through overt war or covert war or a war on the environment, and that is a matter of great sadness. And the karma those boys are going to bring down themselves is really going to be a sad thing to see.
Yeah, and we're ill-equipped to help them when they come back.
You know, well, that's for sure.
We're not spending the resources in the VA. We're ignoring, you know, the enormously high suicide rate and, you know, the homelessness, the chronic unemployment, the inability to deal with everyday life. So we're really creating, you know, we're using these boys and girls up for a couple of years, but, you know, their contributions as citizens, they need help. The easiest
That's
thing
for
would
sure.
be to stop the wars. We should have a draft. And the second we have a draft, people will take to the streets and say, not with my kid, you don't. And they might, you know, but by using mercenaries and paid soldiers, that really removes us from the, you know, the decision. Are we going to go to war? Are we going to stay? Are we going to kill? We're going to be killed? You know, they have these mercenaries to do that, so we don't have to think about it.
That's for sure.
I remember when we had the draft.
Right.
I'm sorry,
so do I. I was just going to say, I've been worried for years with the increasing high-tech toys of war, that when they have that mechanical interface completely perfected where they can wrap a soldier in an electronic skeleton, it's going to make war so damn easy. And of course, drones have gone a long way in that direction. And I just shudder to think what a free hand's going to give those people and how many are going to die because of it.
And because the sad thing is, you know, they'll bring kids who might display, you know, sociopathic tendencies, you know, in the tests that they take, and they'll play these video games, they'll kill people. I mean, look what Chelsea Manning, look at the digital graphics that she exposed, showing the behavior of us just killing people and laughing about it. You know, anyway, I got off on a tangent.
No, it's okay, because, I mean, to me, you know, the fact that the helicopter pilot, you know, gets an award and the guy who revealed the video is incarcerated, that tells you everything you need to tell about federal policy. And our constitutional law president, who opined early on that he was guilty without even a trial, and who's now happy to designate people to be killed without any trial, without any judicial restraint, without any process at all, because as I said, the due process is I do a process, then that's the process. It's shocking. It's really shocking.
So on one hand, we have people espousing democracy. We need to preserve our democracy. If you are an historian, you know, we never had a democracy. You know, we've talked about it, but we really don't. And that's what we're being sold. We're being sold on our democracy. We have to preserve it. And our boys and girls are over there fighting for democracy, you know, and I just don't see that.
But Dave,
right.
Let me ask you this.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. Now, you're going to be starting your show maybe next week, I think?
Friday the 14th.
Excellent. And you and Lynn will be talking about financial matters, credit matters, student loan matters. These are critical issues for people today. And short of Elizabeth Warren and a very small handful of Mr. Black, Professor Black, very few people talking about these things.
Right. And those that are speaking about them, in Ms. Warren's case, she's sort of normalizing the experience, you know, saying, well, it's terrible, but that's just the way it is. You know, in regard to student loan debt, we have $1.2 trillion in, is it trillion? I think it's trillion.
Yeah.
In student loan debt. And instead of us having a discussion about making secondary and college education free, you know, we're talking about, well, we'll reduce the interest rate from, you know, 8 or 9% down to 3 or 4. Now, granted, that's going to help a lot of people. That could be the difference between, you know, solvency and insolvency. But the reality is the discussion shouldn't really be a tweak in the interest rate. It should be, let's get rid of this. Let's get rid of it. For the year, for the cost of 1 year of being in Afghanistan, we could have free college education for anyone who wanted it. Free. Absolutely free.
Amazing.
And I think what Lynn and I would like to do in our program is to look at the numbers behind all of this and say, you know, it really makes sense. All right, we're talking about this, and this is what the reformers are talking about, and, you know, bringing up viable information and good points, but it obfuscates the discussion of let's have a peace dividend, let's have a peace economy, not a war economy. Let's not privatize everything. Let's make things more socially acceptable. And these are the issues that we'd like to talk about, including, you know, mortgage loan servicing, student debt servicing, and possible solutions, not ironclad plans. But we're a society. We have great thinkers. You know, we certainly should be able to come up with something better than we've got. And we need those voices heard. So it's programs
Absolutely.
Like yours. It's networks like yours. It's the independent media that struggles to put out, you know, program and good information. And more than that, just open up the lines of discussion so people don't feel alone. You know, if one person, I saw this great thing on Facebook the other day, a sign, if one person speaks out against injustice, it will make it easier for the next person to do the same.
And absolutely.
That's what we need.
Absolutely. Many a time I stood on the street corner protesting this war, the next war, the war after that, the war after that, the war after that. And so often people would pull over and say, thank you for standing there. You're standing there for me. And that really buoyed my spirits because I knew that what they were saying was true. Even though they couldn't stand there, they took solace that someone was standing up. And in a way, they mm-hmm. identify with it. And they said, you were standing there for us. And I think that's what the show does. The show brings ideas and thoughts to people that they wouldn't hear otherwise. They're certainly not going to hear it on regular media. And I'm
Absolutely.
So glad that you and Lynn can join us because I think what you're going to do as well is to inform people to give them the tools to help them understand what's really going on. And that's critical.
Well, remember what Ross Perot used to say? Well, one of the things he said was, let's look under the hood. And that always resonated with me. But, you know, when you were standing on the street corner handing, you know, holding up the peace signs, I'll bet you got the other side of the coin as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had plenty of beer cans thrown at me and assaults, threats, and all that sort of thing, and, you know, the finger and all. It would amaze me how many times little old ladies driving by would give me the finger. And I just, yeah, how quaint and genteel.
We have a group that meets every Saturday, and it's been meeting here for the last 20 years outside of a military installation that has just closed. So we lost about 25,000 jobs in the area because the base relocated. But every Saturday for the last 20 years, this group comes out, you know, from noon to 1 o'clock. And you know what number? It varies. You know, we get between 5 and 25 people. And they hold up signs at a very busy intersection. And I'd say that lately, in the last couple of years, more and more people were receptive. And fewer were, you know, condemning our actions, calling us un-American. We even had other groups. We had pro-war groups line up on the other side of the street.
Yeah, probably the... go ahead.
It's contentious, that's all. So it takes a backbone. It takes some courage to get up there every Saturday and, you know, go for peace. And you know, unfortunately, a lot of people now, you know, they're so involved with working two and three jobs or, God forbid, no job, and they don't have time to do this. Although it really should be paramount.
Well, you know, you make a very, very important point there. Between the lack of the draft and between the fact that people are so darn busy working those two and three minimum wage jobs, none of which pay a decent salary at all, that it's hard to get people to come together to even work for their own best interests. And, of course, the propaganda machine's grinding it out, that the problem is ISIS. No, ISIL. No, ISIS. No, it's I. Who knows? I mean, they can't even come up with a straight idea what the name of the damn enemy is. Who are they kidding?
But as long as we're afraid, that's all that matters. They keep us afraid.
And when you think about those poor soldiers going over there 3, 4, 5, 6 times, I mean, they are literally grinding those poor kids up. It's a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah. And it is not only unnecessary, it is unconscionable. It's probably illegal. Didn't they? Now, I read in David Swanson's book a while back that war is illegal. War is illegal, and yet we are doing that. I hope to have David as a guest on our program.
Now, that'd be awesome. You know, the way I met you, Dave, is I saw some of your posts, and I said, there is a thinking man. There is a man who cares. There is a man who really wants to help make this a better world. And that's why I had to
see. I plagiarize a lot. I plagiarize.
A good idea should have many hands. It really should.
Well, that's very kind of you to say that. And I'll tell you, I'm really impressed with this program. You allow guests to, you know, speak freely. I really enjoyed the other night on the Progressive Roundtable. That was so much fun. And I enjoy listening to Alan McKay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in fact, that's a good point. I should mention that this weekend show has got a really interesting lineup. Of course, I'll be joined by the very well-informed and very intelligent David and Lynn Petrovich. And they're going to talk a little bit about their show, and they're going to talk a little bit about some of the issues that they're going to be discussing. I've also got Stacey Lee Sherwood, who is a turtle activist who's been working for quite some years, working to protect the turtles that come to shore and nest on our beaches. And I've also got two other very interesting guests coming on. Nathan Pym, who's going to be talking about the terrible, terrible situation where so many cities, besides ignoring the homeless and the poor, they are literally criminalizing poverty and criminalizing the act of charity of giving these people food. Nathan himself was arrested for giving people food, for sharing. They even call it, you're arrested for sharing food. You know, I can't understand how a nation that pretends some kind of religious morality, that pretends some level of civilization, how they can possibly arrest people for sharing food with the hungry. It's just unbelievable. I've had the good fortune of having Keith, Keith, one of the founders of Food Not Bombs, on. His name is Gaslighting, escapes me right now. But he's been on several times, and he's told us this before, but here we have cases of this going on in Fort Lauderdale. And there's always a lot of people come down here to fend for themselves during the wintertime. And then also, another story we're going to be hearing from a young man is the story of the pipelines for this, all this fracked natural gas, and the impact this is going to have on Florida, on Georgia, and in fact on the whole Southeast. And he shows how, with their own documents, these oil companies have basically said, this oil, this natural gas, this fracked material isn't for America. It's not for our energy crisis. Instead, this stuff is for offshore shipment. Hold on just one second. We got Dave back. Dave, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you. I needed to recharge my battery.
I understand. Well, Dave, we've got a little more than 2 minutes left. Dave, why don't you go ahead and click on one of our songs there, and we'll have a little out music, and then we'll hear a few more things.
What would you like to hear?
How about... let's see, there's a wonderful old bank tune. The banks are made of marble. That's a 3-minuter. Pete Seeger, it's down in the P's, so scroll down to Pete Seeger, and banks are made of marble. And I'll give folks a little bit to think about there.
Oh, all right.
There we go.
I've traveled around this country, from shore to shining shore. It really made me wonder the things I heard and saw. I saw the weary farmer a-plowing sod and loam. I heard the auction hammer just a knocking down his home. But the banks are made of marble, with a guard at every door. And the vaults are stuffed with silver that the farmer sweated for. I've seen a seaman standing idly by the shore.
Leave him with any final thought?
And I heard...
Dave, you want to leave him with any final thought?
Well, I really look forward to speaking with you on Sunday from 8 to 9. And I wish you a very healthy and happy couple of days.
Thank you so much, my friend, and the best to you and your wife. And we'll look forward to talking to you Sunday evening. Thanks again, buddy.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
In the state of Mississippi, many years ago, a boy of 14 years got a taste of Southern law. He's